الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading. The author, he mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى، ومن أسباب سعادة الأسر أن يكون الرجل قيما على زوجته راعيا لأسرته، فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول في كتابه الكريم: الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. الشيخ يمشي حفظه الله، هذه القوامة من محاسن الإسلام ومن تمام نعم الله عز وجل علينا، إذ فيها الخير العظيم وفيها موافقة فطرة الزوج والزوجة. Among the means of family happiness is that the man, he should be a guardian over his wife, a caretaker of his household, for Allah glorified and exalted, he says in his noble book, men are the protectors and maintainers of women, because Allah has given one more strength than the other, because they support them from their means. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that men, they are protectors, guardians, and maintainers of women, بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, because of what Allah has preferred some over the other, بِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, because of what they spend from their wealth. The Shaykh mentioned this qiwama, this guardianship is one of the beauties of Al-Islam. It's one of the beauties of Al-Islam and a part of the complete favor of Allah upon us. It brings great benefit and aligns with the natural disposition, the fitrah, of both the husband and the wife. The Shaykh mentioned qiwamatu tafwidun lizawji. Tafwidun lizawji, al-qiwama, this guardianship, and the one that will maintain the household and the family and direct and guide them. This qiwama is divinely ordained and responsibility given to the husband to take charge. Given to the husband to take charge. Who takes charge? The husband. Al-qiwamatu tafwidun lizawji bi an yakuma بما يصلح شأن زوجته. قال الشيخ ابن سعدي رحمه الله: يخبر الله تعالى أن الرجال قوامون على النساء، أي قوامون عليهن بإلزامهن بحقوق الله تعالى من المحافظة على فرائضه وكفهن عن المفاسد، والرجال عليهم أن يلزموهن بذلك، وقوامون عليهن أيضا بالإنفاق عليهن بالإنفاق عليهن والكسوة والمسكن والمسكن. So القوامة تفويض للزوج. This is divinely ordained responsibility placed in the hands of the husband to take charge in a way that nurtures and maintains the well-being of his wife. الشيخ ابن سيدي رحمه الله تعالى, he says, Allah informs us that men are guardians over women. That is, they are responsible for ensuring that women uphold the rights of Allah, such as observing his obligations and refraining from corruption. Men are tasked with enforcing this, and they are also responsible for providing financially for them in terms of spending, clothing, and housing. Spending, clothing, and housing. So this is from the means of achieving happiness, and this is from establishing the religion, and from the completion of the faith, that a believer, he will believe everything that is mentioned in the book of Allah, and from that, that the male is not like the female, and that the men, they are guardians and caretakers and protectors and in charge of women, and it's not opposite. So whenever there's a clear understanding with regards to these verses, that these are the statements of the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has brought us all into existence and is providing for all of us, and the one whom we're going to return to, and he's going to take us to account, who knows better, the creation or the creator? أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ, does not the creator know best? So whenever these affairs are disturbed and they're placed out of order, then the family or the household or the individuals, even the society, they will find much chaos and problems. Much chaos and problems. And this is something that we see in these days, that the scales have been flipped upside down and things are being changed around backwards. And because of this, there's great problems in many of the households, because the women, they think they're in charge, and because the men, they're not standing up and maintaining the household in the manner prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the case, absolutely no doubt about that. There are some households that are establish upon khair and establish upon goodness, alhamdulillah. But this is something that we see common in these days, that some of the women, they think that they have the charge and the authority. Even some of them, they will go out and leave their husband at home, and leave their husband at home. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something to pay attention to, and it goes back to the first affair, and the true means of happiness is having sincere and true faith and working righteous deeds. So we must realize these affairs and believe in them and surrender and submit to them and establish them. This is from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Rather, this is from the beauty of Al-Islam, and this is something that is in accordance with the natural disposition of the human being in which he was created. So this is the case here. Sheikh Asadi, he says, Allah informs us that men are guardians over women. And this is a beautiful affair. Alhamdulillah. That doesn't mean that he will be harsh or he will be rude. Rather, he'll be kind and he'll be merciful. But the affairs are in his hand, and he's in charge of that. And he's responsible for establishing that. And that is that they are responsible for ensuring that women uphold the rights of Allah. So it's incumbent for the men to realize this affair, that those under his care, from his women, he's responsible for that. He's responsible to make sure that they learn the rights of Al-Islam, and they establish them to the best of their ability in their home, and that they learn the general rights that are encompassing all of the people, the male and the female, and likewise the specific rights that concern the women individually. Like how to cover themselves properly whenever they leave their home, and make sure that they do that, and strive to make sure that they do that, and that they did not leave the house متبرجات وليذ بالله فتانات, trying the people and the likes, leaving the home in the means of fitna, or leaving in the homes and being a trial for the society, and also a shame for the family, So this is upon the men that they must take charge, that they must strive to establish this affair for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, because indeed they will be held accountable. You can just let those under one's care loose to do as they like. Rather, there's responsibility, and that lies on the man, because Allah, he says, Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. So there's responsibility there, there's accountability there, there's a question that one will be asked about with regards to those under his care, specifically with regards to the women, specifically with regards to this guardianship. So this is a great benefit here. Allah informs us that men are guardians over women. What does that mean? Sheikh Asadi, he says, that is that they are responsible for ensuring that women uphold the rights of Allah, such as observing his obligations and establishing them properly. Learning the obligations and learning how to perform them, and then being upright in the application of that, and refraining from corruption, refraining from indecency, refraining from that which is forbidden, and that which is not allowed. The men, they must order the good and forbid the evil in their household with those under their care in a good manner. Men are tasked, meaning they're held accountable with enforcing this. And they're also responsible for providing financially for them in terms of spending, clothing, and housing. The Shaykh says, وَجَاءَ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّهُ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَهِيَ مَسْئُولَةٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهَا عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهَا. So it was narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, each of you is a shepherd. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ. A shepherd, meaning a guardian. It's a parable or an example. كلكم رَاعٍ. All of you are shepherds. Each of you is a shepherd, and each of you is responsible for his flock. And all of you are guardians, and all of you are responsible for those under your care. A man is a shepherd over his family, and he's a guardian. He's a guardian over his family, and he's responsible for his flock. He's responsible for those under his care. He's responsible for them and their deen and their aqidah and their creed. their understanding of the deen first and foremost, the cultivation of their soul, what they need to know in order to reach paradise and the pleasure of Allah and to be safe from the anger of Allah and His wrath, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So cultivating and raising the children and the family and the household is not simply spending and clothing and the likes and providing the worldly affair, but rather it begins with nourishing and cultivating the soul and directing and guiding them to that which is good and beneficial for them, and that which will be a means of savior for them in this life and the hereafter. And that is by learning the proper creed and establishing that in the manner prescribed, learning the legislation that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and learning how to uphold it properly and being gentle and kind in that way, raising them in a good manner to where whenever they grow up, they will be able to establish the deen of Allah, inshallah, in an easy and facilitated manner. In an easy and facilitated manner. Correcting them with gentleness and correcting them with kindness and directing them and advising them in a good manner without being harsh and rude whenever it's not necessary. Whenever it's not necessary. A man is a shepherd over his family. He's responsible for his flock. What does that mean? He's responsible for his flock. Isn't that guidance in the hands of Allah? So what does it mean he's responsible for his flock? He has to take the means. He has to make the effort. He has to put in the work to cultivate them and to guide them and to direct them and to advise them. He can't let them run him. And he can't leave them to do as they like and to follow their desires. He can't leave them or neglect the rights that they have upon him, that he will teach them and cultivate them and raise them upon the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Upon the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So many people, they are negligent with regards to this affair, and this is not going to go unquestioned. And the people, they're going to be held accountable and at the head of the affair. The head of the affair is al-Islam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned Ra'sul Amri al-Islam. The head of the affair is al-Islam. Not a degree, not a diploma, not a job, not an office, not a house with a front yard and backyard, or a fence, not a car, not a vehicle. None of these affairs are the head of the affair. All of these can go, and they will go. But that which remains and lasts is a person's deen, the deeds that he does for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul Amri al-Islam, person, he must focus and pay attention, because life is short, it's going to go by. وَكُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. And all of you are shepherds, and all of you will be held accountable for those under your care. So a man, he's responsible for his flock. He's responsible for his wife. He's responsible for his child and all those under his care. Meaning he's responsible and will be held accountable. He must take the means and make the effort to direct them and guide them and to teach them and to cultivate them and then to order them in a good manner and to forbid them and prohibit them in the best way to facilitate the application of the legislation in his home and with those under his care. And with those under his care. Now, even and continuing, likewise, the woman. And a woman, she's a shepherd over her husband's household. Whose household? Her husband's household. We pay attention to these affairs. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the most eloquent. And whenever he speaks with purpose. And he does not speak from his desires. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. He does not speak from his desires. Rather, it is nothing but revelation revealed. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَهِيَ مَسْئُولَةٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهَا. And a woman, she's a shepherd. She's a shepherd in her husband's household, and she is responsible for her flock. She's responsible for her flock. So the Shaykh, he says, فَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ لِأُسْرَتِي لِلْأُسْرَةِ فَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ لِلْأُسْرَةِ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَكُومَ بِمَا يُصْلِحُهَا. So the man, he is a shepherd over his family, and he is a guardian and a protector, maintainer. It is obligatory upon him to take care of what will benefit and correct them. What will benefit and correct them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. All you who believe, save yourself and your families from a fire. From a fire. It's been narrated from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, and likewise ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that they said this means addibuhum wa'allimuhum, that you must discipline them and teach them. And some narrations likewise, allimuhum al-fara'id. Allimuhum al-fara'id. What does it mean to save your family from a fire? It means that you discipline them and you teach them, you educate them. And some wordings has mentioned that. The meaning of this, or some of the salaf, they mentioned that it means that you teach them the obligations and you help them implement them in their life. You help them implement them in their life. And so this is what it means to save one's family by teaching them the obligations that Allah has made incumbent upon them to perform, and making it easy and facilitating for them the application of that in their life until they are cultivated and grow upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Until they are cultivated and raised upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if that's the means to save one's family, then in order to do that, they must first save themselves. They must learn themselves, because فَاقِدُ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. A person cannot give something he does not have. He cannot give something he does not have. So if he has to teach and discipline his family, that means he must be taught and disciplined first himself. He must be taught, educated, and disciplined first himself, striving against his soul to purify his intention and purify his soul, and to establish the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla in his life, and then after that, to facilitate that for his family, and to strive to rectify them and to cultivate them in a good manner. So he says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً يَمُوتُ يَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَهُوَ غَاشٌ لِرَعِيَّتِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also said, there is no servant whom Allah appoints over a flock, and over a people, meaning he's granted authority and guardianship over them, and he dies, and when he dies, he's dishonest towards his flock, and he did not give them the proper direction and guidance. He did not warn them from that which is harmful from them, from that which will earn them the anger of Allah and His wrath. He did not guide them and direct them to that which would be a means of savor and safety for him whenever he dies and meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no servant whom Allah appoints over a flock, meaning over a people, when he dies, while he is dishonest towards his flock. But Allah will forbid paradise for him. But Allah will forbid paradise for him. Is it from fulfilling the trust to take a pure Muslim child who is born in a family that believes in the oneness of Allah, and that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he believes in all of the prophets and messengers and doesn't deny any of them, and believes in the revelation, all of them, and doesn't deny any of them, and that the Quran is the final revelation for a family who believes that there are angels that are writing the deeds, that there are angels that will take the souls, and that there will be accountability on the day of resurrection, and the people that will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it from fulfilling the trust that that young child will be left in the hands of disbelievers for 6 to 8 hours a day for them to do what they like, and to cultivate and plant the seed of disbelief and corruption and indecency in their hearts? Is that from fulfilling the trust? If you had a diamond and you threw it in the trash, or you left it on the ground, is somebody gave you a great gift, for example, like a diamond, something very valuable, something very precious, and then you just throw it on the ground, or you set it by the trash and the likes like this, or somebody just, you just pass urine on it like it's nothing. Like it's nothing, you just leave it there like that. Is that showing thanks for the blessing? Is that showing thanks for the blessing? No, that's not showing thanks for the blessing. So we will see that the children, they're a blessing, but also they're a trust and an amanah. So this is not proper. This is not proper. Many people, they leave their children to the disbelievers because they have dreams of having a career, and they have dreams of having a large home, and they have dreams of having a vehicle, and they have dreams of this and dreams of that. And the one who they sacrifice not only their souls, but the souls of their children. And they leave their children to be raised by the disbelievers and to learn the manners and etiquettes of the disbelievers. And by the way, the disbelievers, if they die in that manner, they're promised to enter the hellfire, and they're promised that they will never get out. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. So how could the child be left with people who, if they die in the manner that they're upon, they will never come out of the fire? They'll never come out of the fire. So this is something that's very serious. This narration here should scare a believer, especially a father. مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً يَمُوتُ يَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَهُوَ غَاشٍ لِرَعِيَّتِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. There is no person, There's no slave that Allah will point, that Allah will grant him authority and guardianship over a people, and he dies. The day that he dies, he's dishonest to those under his care, meaning he did not give them the proper advice that they need to be safe from the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Except that Allah will forbid paradise for him. Except that Allah will forbid paradise for him. What does that mean? What does that mean? We just covered these issues and these details in our classes in the previous work. What does that mean? He will never enter, that Allah will forbid paradise for him. He won't enter with safety and security. He's not promised to enter without punishment and reckoning. But if he's a believer, he will eventually enter. Meaning that this is an indication, this is a major sin. This is a major sin, a major violation of the rights of faith. A major violation of the rights of faith. So this could be a reason for a Muslim to enter the hellfire. This could be a reason for a Muslim to enter the hellfire because he was dishonest. He did not advise and direct those under his care and fulfill that responsibility and duty in the manner prescribed, pleasing to Allah. So the Shaykh, he says, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يعني كُلُّ عَبْدٍ يَسْرَعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةً أَيَّ رَعِيَّةً وَلَوْ كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً يَمُوتُ يَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَغَاشٌ لِرَعِيَّتِهِ أي لَمْ يُحُطْهَا بِنُصْحِهِ لَمْ يُحُطْهَا بنصحه إلا حرم الله عليه الجنة وهذا يدل أيها الإخوة على أن ذلك من كبائر الذنوب التي تسخط الله سبحانه وتعالى. There's no servant. The Shaykh says meaning every single servant. Meaning there's no servant. Meaning every last person. Every last person whom Allah appoints over a flock. Meaning any responsibility, even over one person. Even over one person, he just has a wife, that's it. Or just has a sister, he just has a daughter, that's it. Or just has a son, that's it. Even could be included many times, the brothers and sisters likewise, the big brothers. They have little brothers and little sisters. If they do not give them the proper advice, well, they know that they're in need of that advice. They do not direct them and show them the right way or warn them from that which is wrong. Well, they know they're upon that. This also could be included because they are also having a share in that responsibility. The big brothers and the big sisters and the likes like this. And they must cooperate in their homes upon piety and righteousness and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and advise their little brothers and sisters in the manner prescribed. And likewise, even sometimes the little brothers and sisters must advise the older ones as well. But this will be in the proper manner, with the proper tone and the proper way, because the young is not like the old, and the old has a virtue over the young ones. The older siblings have a virtue over the young ones because they're older, and this is something that is known. But that doesn't mean that they cannot be advised. No, they will be advised likewise if they need to, and the family must cooperate upon this affair. This is something the Sheikh is going to mention, but this is very, very important. Very, very important. So, meaning any responsibility, any person, every last person who has anyone under their care or responsibility whatsoever, meaning any responsibility, even over one person, and he dies while being dishonest with his flock, meaning he does not sincerely advise and care for them, except that Allah will forbid paradise for him. Except that Allah will forbid paradise for him. Meaning forbid paradise for him, and he forbid him from entering with those who enter without any punishment or any reckoning, forbidding him from entering in the beginning safely in great honor and dignity, meaning that he is exposed to the anger of Allah and the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and punishment in the fire, punishment of purification. And then whenever Allah sees fit, he will take him out. He will take him out. So he's exposed to the anger of Allah because of this negligence. So it says, this, dear brothers, shows that such neglect is among the major sins that incur the wrath of Allah, glorified and exalted. Glorified and exalted. Glorified and exalted. So he says, وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسَرِ أَنْ يَسُودَهَا الْوُدُّ وَالْمَحَبَّةِ الْوُدُّ وَالْمَحَبَّةِ And from the means of family happiness is that love and affection prevail within the home. That love and affection prevail within the home. Meaning that the home and the relationship of those in the household is a relationship of love and affection, a relationship of love and mercy, a relationship of kindness and gentleness. And this is any of the foundation for a happy home. The foundation from the foundations of a happy home. يقول الله عز وجل ومن آياته خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. And Allah the Almighty, he says, and among his signs, and the signs indicating the majesty and the greatness of Allah, and that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, that he had created for you wives from among yourselves, that you may find repose in them. You may find tranquility and peace and happiness with them. And He has put between you affection and mercy. And Allah has placed between you and between the husband and wife affection and mercy. So this is a fundamental understanding that in the household, especially between the husband and wife, there should be mercy. There should be love. There should be mercy. There should be affection. There should be kindness. And this should be a base for the dealings of the household. The Shaykh, he says, من أسباب سعادة الأسر أن تحرصوا في أسركم معاشر المؤمنين على المودة والرحمة. One of the keys to family happiness, dear believers, is that you strive to maintain affection and mercy in your households. Affection and mercy in your households. Again, first and foremost, between the husband and wife. The husband and wife, they should be affectionate and merciful and kind and loving towards each other. And loving towards each other. And then likewise towards their children. And the children towards their parents. And also amongst each other as well. Any of the brothers and sisters, they should be merciful as well amongst each other. If they're cultivated properly, there should not be harshness or rudeness, or one of them taking advantage of the other, or using them like slaves in their households to serve them as individuals and the likes like this. All of this is not proper. Rather, they cooperate and work together. They cooperate and they work together. They have love and affection for each other, and there's mercy between them. There's mercy and kindness between them. So he says, وَقَدْ حَثَّ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَى التَّوَدُّدِ إِلَى الْمَرْأَةِ وَتَحَمُّلِ مَا قَدْ يَصْدُرُ مِنْهَا مِنْ أَذَى وَلَحِفْظِ مَعْرُوفِهَا. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنا يعني لا يبغض مؤمن مؤمنا. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. The Shaykh mentioned فلا سعادة بلا مودة ولا تراحم. Islam encourages husbands to show kindness toward their wives. Islam encourages husbands to show kindness towards their wives. If something is encouraged in Islam, that means that the one who does it sincerely, based upon true faith, hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a means to obtain the pleasure and mercy of Allah. It's a means to obtain the pleasure and mercy of Allah. So Islam encourages husbands to show kindness towards their wives. So a believer, he will be kind towards his wife, seeking the pleasure of Allah, not hoping for anything from the wife. He would do this as a deen. He would do it as religion. He would be kind and merciful with regards to her, and he will deal with her in the best manner, regardless of the situation, hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, that Islam encourages the husbands to bear with any harm or difficulty that may come from them, and to remember the good that they do. He mentioned 3 points here. And Islam encourages husbands, number one, to show kindness towards their wives. Number two, to bear with any harm or difficulty that may come from them, from their shortcomings or the likes like this, or things that the man, he doesn't necessarily like from their conduct or their manners. And number three, to remember the good that they do. To remember the good that, not to look at the shortcomings or the things you don't like about her, but rather to remember the good that she does. And many times whenever you look in this manner, you will find that the good that she has is much greater than the shortcomings, or they outweigh. They outweigh. She has some shortcomings, but so do you. So do you. And if you look at them, many times the good that she has is greater than the shortcomings that she has. And many people, they have women with greater shortcomings than yours. With greater shortcomings or problems than yours. So a person, he must remember these affairs. He must remember these affairs. So we're encouraged to be kind to them. And we're encouraged to bear their harm. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is the true ihsan. A person, he wants to have an ihsan to his wife, and he to deal with her in the most excellent and good manner. This is not from spending on her and from taking care of her and the likes like this, but rather this truly is found in bearing the harm that comes from her and from her tongue. Bearing that harm. This is, if you want to be good to your wife, then you're patient with her whenever she does that which you do not like. And you bear that in a good manner. It doesn't mean that you would neglect that, or you let her take charge, or you let her run you, or you let her be rude, or disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that you'll be forbearing, and you will overlook these affairs, and you will find the proper time to correct her and direct her, and to show her the good way, and to help to remove those bad traits that you find from her by cultivating her and raising her upon iman and teaching her about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reminding her about the meeting of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and about that which is pleasing to Allah and that which is not pleasing to Allah and advising and directing in this manner. And advising and directing in this manner. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yafraqu mu'minun mu'mina," that a believing man does not hate a believing woman. He does not hate a believing woman. The Shaykh, he says, meaning a believing man does not hate the believing woman. Does not despise them. Does not he does not have this absolute hatred for them where he cannot bear them. He cannot stand them. Like this, if he dislikes one of her characteristics, he won't be pleased with another. He'll be pleased with another. So the Shaykh he says, "Fala sa'adata bila mawadda wa tarahum." So there's no happiness without love and compassion. There's no happiness in the home without love and compassion. So a person he must show love and he must show compassion and mercy and kindness and gentleness. And from this is to bear those harms and to deal with them in a good way and to be patient in correcting shortcomings and faults and mistakes. And not everything requires harshness. Rather, the origin is to not be harsh. And to rectify and to correct the mistakes of the ignorant or those who come out of character in a good manner. So if the woman she comes out of character or she raises her voice or she does something that a man he does not like, if he reacts in the manner she reacts, then the house is in chaos automatically. So if she loses her control and she is following her desires and is overcome by her emotions, which is something that's more common in women, although some men are tried by that likewise. If a man he acts like that, whenever she acts like that, then the house is going to fall apart. The household is going to fall apart. There's going to be chaos, and the children are going to be affected. And all they're going to know, all they're going to hear and remember in their life is that mom and dad is always fighting and yelling at each other. Mom and dad is always fighting and yelling at each other. There's always somebody yelling and raising their voice in the house, and problems can never be solved in a gentle or calm or peaceful manner. And many times this goes back to the guardianship of the husband. He reacts in a manner like that, and he's not patient nor forbearing, and he speaks just like that without thinking on how to deal with the situation. She will raise his voice, he'll raise it back. No, that's not like that. She raised her voice, you calm her down. You calm her down, barakallahu fiqh. You don't let her cause you to come out of character. Now let her raising her voice or being sharp in the likes like this cause you to act in the same manner. We have to learn to control ourselves and not let other people push our buttons. Not let other people push our buttons. And then if we allow somebody else to push our buttons, we can't say, well, he did it. No, you're in charge of yourself and you're accountable for yourself. And it's incumbent for you to not act like that. So this is something that's very important in the homes, that a man he will keep his calm, he will keep his composure, he will see the situation, and if it's not nice, it's not good, he will not make it worse. He'll not make it worse. So there's going to be problems. There's going to be issues that arise in the house. But the guardian and the one in charge and the one responsible for the house, he must maintain that and he must address that properly without making it worse. So a bad situation could become worse. Or it could stay the same. Which one is better? Right? A bad situation, there's a few things that can either get worse, or it can stay the same, or it can lighten, or it can go away. So no doubt, if for it to go away, this is best. After that, for it to lighten and calm down, this is better. Even if it just stays the same, that's better than getting worse. You understand that? So we have to work in our households to lighten the situation and alleviate them and remove them and not make them worse. And not make them worse. So this requires for us to have knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fundamental knowledge, like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyakul khayran aw yasmut." That whoever truly believes in Allah in the last day, let him say that which is good or be silent. This means that a person he must learn to think before he speaks and think before he acts. And if a person he implements this knowledge in his home with his family, it will purify his soul and he'll be from the best of the people. Because your family is someone that you see all of the time. Whenever you're hungry, whenever you're tired, whenever you're thirsty, whenever you're sick, whenever you're not feeling well, all the time. You wake up and they're there and you go to sleep and they're there. And people sometimes they not always do what they're supposed to do. So the one who is able to control himself and to have good noble manners with his family, then he'll be from the best of the people. He'll be from the best of the people because it's easy for us to have noble manners and conduct with each other because we only see each other for a moment. So it's easy for a person to keep himself in good conduct for that brief moment, or along with somebody that he only sees for a few minutes or hours throughout the day. As for the one that you see every day, all day, or all the time, yani, in the likes like this, then to truly have noble manners with them is a sign that one is truly upright in his conduct. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Khairukum, khairukum li ahlihi, wa ana khairukum li ahli." The best of you are the best to his family, and I'm the best of you to my family. So to keep control, to keep your composure in the home, and correcting the mistakes and directing the people in the household, this is something that's very important. A believer, he must learn how to govern his household in the best manner. And this requires to have a beautiful and good intention and to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to want good for his family. And nobody is perfect, and people make mistakes, but those who are trying and those who are making effort, inshallah, it will be seen. It will be seen, it will be known from them. And many times the conduct and the manners is something that a person, he'll become accustomed to. The more you strive against your soul, the more you work against your self, the more easy it will become, insha'Allah ta'ala. They say you win some, you lose some. You win some, you lose some. But the thing is, a believer now, he'll realize these affairs, and he'll say, "Astaghfirullah, I could have handled that better. Astaghfirullah, I could have handled that better." He will have remorse. He will feel bad, because he didn't handle it in the proper manner. Because he didn't handle it in the proper manner. So in the household, barakallahu fikum, we have to think about the fact that there are rights and there are things that should be established, and that if we're always demanding the rights to be established as they should be properly, then there is never going to be happiness, because the people are not always going to be able to do that all the time. So we have to learn to forgive. We have to learn to overlook. We have to learn to let things go and the likes like this, for the greater good and for the benefit of the household and the family, especially if we have children with that woman. Especially if we have children with that woman. If you have children with the woman, the last thing that you want to do is to separate, because it's going to affect the family. It's going to affect the children. Children who grow up without a father in their home, they grow up missing a great blessing in their life. Children who grow up without a mother in their home, they grow up missing a great blessing in their life. Children who grow up in households that are divided and split, they're missing the great blessing in their life. From the great blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal is that the household and the family will be united, that they'll be together, that there will be a mother and a father in the home. And a mother cannot raise the children by herself, even if they're girls. And a father cannot raise the children by himself, even if they're boys. The boys have to have a mother. That's why they call him mother's boy, right? And what do they call the girls? Daddy's girl, right? Because they have to have both. No doubt, the mother, she has a great role in the household in raising the children, boys and girls. But likewise, the father, his presence must be there. Because the children, many times they take advantage of the weakness of their mother. And even if their mother is striving hard, she's gonna fall weak. And they're gonna take advantage of her. And the life's like this. So the husband, he's going to come down and put things in order and put things in place. And they complement each other, and the household is good. And this is what is legislated. And this is what is decreed, that there's a mother and a father, there's a husband and a wife, and they should be together, and the children are under their care. Under their care. كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. الرجل راع في بيته والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها. So they have to be together. They have to be together. This requires for a man to realize these affairs and to work hard to cultivate himself upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to strive likewise to rectify his family and to correct the household in the best manner. So this narration here is a great narration. That a believer, he does not despise a believing woman. A believing man, he does not despise a believing woman. If he sees some traits he dislikes from her, then there are others that are pleasing. So this is specific with the wife, but it's a general principle. That if we look at life in this manner, the people that we deal with in this manner, we'll find many times that the good that they have is greater than the evil. But if we focus on the shortcomings, if we focus on the faults, then we will only see that, and will cause much, much problems. It will cause much problems. But if you step back, no doubt there are shortcomings there. No doubt there are faults there. There are things that you don't like there. But if you step back and look at the situation, you will find, well, she does this, and 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 she does this. And many, many other beautiful qualities and traits that drown out these other qualities or make it much easier to handle and deal with these shortcomings that she has. And then you can start with those shortcomings little by little and work on the ones that are most important or the ones that are most severe, the most displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, and work on correcting that one. And work on correcting that one. And at the head of that is to make dua and to call on Allah and beg Him. And the proper times, the good times in sujood, in the middle of the night, in the likes like this, to rectify your wife, to rectify your husband, and so on and so forth. This is very important, to rectify the affairs in the household and to work on correcting those issues in a good manner. So if we look like this, you see your children, maybe the child is not doing what it's supposed to do. Maybe they're upsetting you or they're not giving you right in the manner that is required, but in a certain issue, in a certain issue. But if you step back and look at it as a whole, you'll find that your child has other great qualities and good things. And so it's not specific to the husband and wife. Rather, it's a general principle. If we look at each other in this manner like this, maybe somebody, your brother, for example, he did something. But if you focus and dwell on that one thing, it's going to cause you to hate him and to despise him. But if you step back and look at the overall situation, you'll find that he has many other good qualities and traits, and he's done a lot of good for you in the past and the likes like this. So that drowns out that one affair, and a person here now who'll be balanced. He'll be balanced, and now he will also find ease and peace in his heart. If you focus on the faults, then it's going to bother you and bother you and bother you until you despise and have hatred and rancor in your heart, and until you have problems in your heart and in your life. But if you follow this advice here, then you step back and you look at the bigger picture. You say, no doubt these are problems, but there are many other great qualities that he has, many other great qualities that she has. Alhamdulillah. So this will help you to alleviate those hard feelings from your heart. And whenever the hard feelings go away, you find peace, right? Because peace and happiness is in the heart. So this is from the means of having happiness, that you look at people in this manner and you deal with people in this manner. But we will never be negligent. And this does not mean that this does not mean that person he will be negligent. He will he and he so in the likes like this. No, a person he must be balanced and he must be sincere and truthful. He must be sincere and truthful. And some people they have some really bad traits that it's not possible to bear. It's not possible to bear. We're talking about things that is possible to bear. That's possible to bear. As for example, a woman having relations with another man, having contact with strange men and the likes like this, this is something else. This is something else. Understand what we're talking about? Allahu Akbar. So he says, أَحْيَاهُ اللَّهُ وَقَدْ جَاءَ الْإِسْلَامُ بِمَا يَكُونُ مِنْ رَوَافِدِ هَذِهِ السَّعَادَةِ وَهِيَ الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ فعن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أربع من السعادة: المرأة الصالحة، والمسكن الواسع، والمسكن الواسع، والجار الصالح، والمركب الهني. وأربع من الشقاوة: الجار السوء، والمرأة السوء، والمسكن الضيق، والمركب السوء. Islam has brought about that which supports family happiness, and among the most significant of these is a righteous woman. And from the greatest means to have happiness in the home is to have a righteous woman. It was narrated from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, four things are from happiness. Four things are from happiness: a righteous wife, a spacious home, a good neighbor, and a comfortable mount, and a good vehicle, and for us in these days. And four things are from misery. And four things are from misery. And it means from misery: a bad neighbor, a bad wife, a cramped home, and a troublesome mount. And a troublesome mount. The Shaykh, he says, أربعون من السعادة تأملوها إنها من سعادة الأسر. المرأة الصالحة تسعد بها الأسرة، والمسكن الواسع تعيش فيه الأسر فتسعد، والجار الصالح تجاوره الأسرة فتسعد، وَالْمَرْكَبُ الْهَنِي تَرْكَبُهُ الْأُسْرَةُ فَتَسْعَدْ. Four things are from happiness. Four things are from happiness. Reflect on this, dear listeners. It is clearly a part of family happiness. A righteous wife, with her, the family is happy. A spacious home. A spacious home. The family lives and finds comfort. It finds comfort. And whenever the house is too small, everywhere you go, you see The same people. You go in this room and there they are. You go in this room and there they are. Nobody ever has any privacy. Nobody ever has any privacy. If you have, for example, a one bedroom apartment and you have five family members living there, and no matter where you go, you're going to see somebody. So it can become a real problem. And a person, he can never find peace. He can never. He wants to study and they want to play, and he wants to play and they want to study. He wants to sleep and they're awake. He wants to be awake and eat and they're tired. So on and so forth. It's not going to be beneficial. It's going to be a problem. So a space is home. It's from the means of happiness. In it, the family lives and finds comfort. It doesn't mean it has to be a castle or a mansion, but it has to be spacious enough to fulfill the needs of the family, to fulfill the needs of the family. A comfortable mount, and yeah, a comfortable vehicle. With it, the family's movements are eased, and the family rides in comfort and a comfortable vehicle and is happy with it. Doesn't mean he has to have a 2025 vehicle, but a vehicle that whenever you go outside and you get in and you turn the key, it starts, right? And you turn the key, it starts. It has windows and the lights like this, AC, heater, alhamdulillah, and it gets you from point A to point B in a good and easy manner. In a good and easy manner. So the family rides in a comfortable vehicle and is happy with it. Alhamdulillah. وَأَرْبَعُ مِنَ الشَّقَاوَةِ مِنْ شَقَاوَةِ الْأُسَرَ الْجَارُ السُّوءُ فَتَشْقَى بِهِ الْأُسْرَةُ وَالْمَرْأَةُ السُّوءُ السَّيِّئَةُ غَيْرُ الصَّالِحَةُ فَتَشْقَى بِهَا الْأُسْرَةُ وَالْمَسْكَنُ الضَّيِّقُ فَتَشْقَى بِهِ الْأُسْرَةُ وَالْمَرْكَبُ السُّوءُ وَمَرْكَبُ السُّوءُ فَتَشْقَى بِهِ الْأُسْرَةُ. And four things are from misery. From the misery of families, a bad neighbor. A bad neighbor. It's mentioned here with regards to this that is said when looking for a new home. Al-jar qabla ad-dar. Al-jar qabla ad-dar. That you look for the neighbor before you look for the house. Because maybe you'll look and you'll feel this house is so nice and it's so spacious and it's so clean and the lights like this. But if the neighbors are found and no good, then that will ruin that house. It will ruin that home. Sometimes when the neighbors, for example, you have a beautiful house and everything like this, and the neighbors all night long, boom, 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 boom. All night long, 1 o'clock, boom, 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 2 o'clock, boom, boom, boom. Subhanallah. Some of them they have dogs. Well, yeah, rough, rough, all night long, barking, 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 barking. And some of some of us, we work from home and the likes like this, where you'll have important things to take care of in the house, and there's dogs barking in the daytime, dogs barking in the nighttime. Oh, or there's music playing at this time and music playing at that time, yani very loud, and yani hitting the head and the likes like this. You cannot find peace, even if the house is mashallah, $1 million home, but the neighbors are foul, or even worse than that. And the neighborhood is not safe because of the neighbors. You go outside and you smell marijuana. You go outside, there's people standing in the yard with pistols and the lights like this. Or you hear shots, pop, 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 right in front of your house. Allahumma musta'an. And you hear that, maybe you hear them here and there, but whenever it's in front of your house, it's different. It's different whenever it's on your block and it's your neighbor that's doing that. When it's their neighbors and you hear it from a long way, it's alhamdulillah, it's adi. Right? But when it's on your block, now it becomes a problem. Now it becomes a problem. I remember when I lived in Detroit, those brothers used to text me and say, Ustad, I can't come to class tonight. There's a shooting on my street. And I can't come out of the house because they're shooting down the street. And he said, this is not a good thing. This is not a good thing. This is something dangerous. Having bad neighbors. Having bad neighbors. This is a calamity. Wal'iyadhu billah. Wal'iyadhu billah. Worse than that, not only not the neighbors, but the ones in the house, right? A bad wife. A bad wife. That is that is one who is corrupt and unrighteous. The family is made miserable through her. She brings misery to her husband, making the husband's life miserable, making the life of the children miserable because she's miserable. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah, a bad wife. What determines a good and a bad wife? What determines a good and a bad wife? Huh? At-taqwa, which is you're right, at-taqwa, piety. Yani the book in the sunnah. The book in the sunnah, the understanding of the salaf. This is what will determine who is a righteous wife. So if she's not upholding those affairs, or she's violating them, especially in major manners, then she's not a good wife, regardless of what one would say. So this is the scale. The scale is the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. So the scale is the messenger, is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he was upon. This is the scale
for identifying righteousness and piety in many women. So also from misery is a cramped home. The family is distressed in it and a troublesome mount. The family suffers through it as well. And yeah, the vehicle just doesn't want to work. Just doesn't want to work. It becomes a real problem and a headache. A real problem and a headache. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مفسرا ما جاء في هذا الحديث ثلاثة من السعادة المرأة الصالحة ما هي السعادة بها؟ قال تراها تعجبك وتغيب فتأمنها على نفسها ومالك والدابة أي المركب تكون وطيئة أي ذلولا سريعة السير تلحقك بأصحابك والدار تكون واسعة كثيرة المرافق. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further explained the meaning of this hadith, saying, three things are from happiness, a righteous woman. And what is happiness with her? He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see her and she pleases you. When you see her, you're happy. Your wife, whenever you see her, you smile. Alhamdulillah, that's my wife. Alhamdulillah, this is my wife. This is the one that Allah blessed me with. When you see her, you're happy and pleased to look at her and to see her. And whenever you are away from her, you trust her with yourself and with your wealth. You trust her with yourself. Any meaning she's not going to do anything to violate the trust or to betray you by speaking or being kind in contact with other men or carrying herself in a manner that's not proper. Why not? But that's not proper. Any in your absence, and also she's trustworthy with your wealth and your property. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a riding beast, meaning a vehicle, that it is easy going, that brings you quickly to your companion. It helps you get to where you need to go and take care of your business in a house that is spacious and has many sections, many different rooms, and the likes like this. With ثلاثة من الشقاء المرأة تراها المرأة تراها فتسوؤك وتحمل لسانها عليك وإن غبت عنها لم تأمنها على نفسها ومالك على نفسها ومالك والدابة تكون قطيئة تكون قطوفا فإن ضربتها أتعبتك وإن تركتها لم تلحق بأصحابك والدار تكون ضيقة قليلة المرافق. And he said صلى الله عليه وسلم, three things are from misery: a woman who, when you see her, she displeases you; whenever you see her, she makes you unhappy. Especially this, the husband and wife, they should be best friends like this. What do they say? Peas in a pod. Right? They should be best friends like this. They should have great love for each other, great care for each other, great mercy for each other. They should love each other more than anybody else, any from the people Allah. That's if they love Allah and His Messenger the most, no doubt this will be the case. They work together upon piety and righteousness. They have great love for each other. And the only ties that bring together is not from blood, but rather from marriage and from living in the home together. They should have great love and care and mercy and kindness between them. Great love and care for each other and mercy and kindness between them. So if it comes to the extent that whenever a man, he sees his wife, he hates her, she makes him upset, he can't stand her, and the likes like this, or vice versa. Vice versa now has come to a bad situation, a bad state. Whenever you are away from, what does that mean? What is the bad woman? When you see her, she displeases you, and she unleashes her tongue against you, and she lashes out with her tongue against you. So this is something that a woman, she must realize, that her tongue sometimes it could be lashed out. And this is from her not being a good woman or a righteous woman, that she lets her tongue loose, against her husband. And from the things that she may say is that you always, like this. This is not from the good way. This is from the means that lead many women to the hellfire, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in authentic narrations. So, and when you are away from her, you do not feel secure regarding herself nor your wealth. Regarding herself nor your wealth, and you're not certain. You don't trust her. You're suspicious about her because of circumstantial evidence, not because of just delusion and the likes like this. Some men, they have delusion and they think bad about their wife, and this is not proper. This is not proper. Rather, one, he should always think good about his wife, and likewise the wife about her husband. This issue is going to come, but the point is now that this is the bad woman that whenever you're away from her, you do not feel safe, that she's going to betray you, that she's going to take your wealth and use it in a manner that does not please you, or that you not allow, and the mount that is slow, any of the vehicle that is slow, if you strike it, it wears you out, and if you leave it, it does not catch you up with your companions, and a house that is cramped, any has few amenities, it has few amenities, any so, this is from the means of happiness and from the means of misery. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا متاع وخير متاعها المرأة الصالحة. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he also said, this world is but enjoyment. This world is but a brief enjoyment, and the best of its enjoyment is a righteous woman. Is a righteous woman. So this is a great benefit, a great benefit that we have to strive to be righteous. Likewise, the man as well, the man as well. Because if the man is not righteous as well, he will bring misery as well to his family, bring misery to his family, to his household. So it's not only for the woman, but likewise the man. But likewise the man. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.